Are you quivering in the cold the minute you step outdoors? It's been really cold in Beijing. Yeah, according to the National Meteorological Center, a cold front has brought the temperature down in most parts of central and eastern China since Tuesday night. The lowest temperature has dropped to lower than minus 10 degrees Celsius recently in Beijing. And yes, every day just getting out of bed is hard enough. Yeah. And getting outside of your front door is really quite a mission, and the biting cold weather has opened the discussion about low temperature subsidies. So, well, first of all, is it just that I'm feeling this, or let's talk about this cold weather this week first.
Well, according to the National Meteorological Center, as you mentioned, a cold front is causing temperature drop to 6 to 8 degrees Celsius. In some areas of Inner Mongolia Autonomous Region and provinces of Jilin, Liaoning, and Shanxi, temperatures dropped to 12 degrees Celsius. So for those working outside, for example, like food delivery drivers or couriers, construction workers, or people who need to patrol and protect forests, they should be entitled to enjoy low temperature subsidies in these cold days, just like high temperature subsidies during the summer. But apparently this isn't the first time that this was brought up. The Ministry of Labor and Social Security mentioned the low temperature subsidy in the minimum wage regulations implemented on March 1st, 2004. But really what it boils down to, the Ministry of Human Resources and Social Security mentioned that employers really have the right to make those decisions. And at present, there are no unified national standards. But in some provinces, there are some regulations. For example, in Inner Mongolia in 2013, granted laborers on the positions that keep them working outside, where it's minus 25 degrees Celsius, they can work for about 4 hours and get a subsidy for about 230 yuan per month. You know, this brings me to a time when I had to work outside in the cold. And this was in Seattle, Washington, in the U.S. It was about single digits, minus single digits out there. And there was snow. This is back when I was at the airport. And I had to load and unload planes, and there I couldn't feel my fingers and my feet. My feet and my hands were numb. It was so cold outside, and I could imagine. I was remembering feeling like, "Wow, they don't pay us enough for this. They don't pay us enough for this." It was just so cold, and I have to say, before reading on this topic, I didn't realize that people are paid subsidies for working in certain temperatures. Like in the United States, we don't really have this situation. But in China, I just discovered that, yeah, depending on the temperature, you can get paid some extra money. And I think this is an excellent idea.
Yeah, so I want to make one thing for sure. So we are not covered by these allowance, right? Well, if you're out in the open, then you could be entitled to, but it's not a guarantee though.
Yeah, but I do agree with this policy, because I think now every day I would try not to order food delivery, even though I ordered one for lunch. Yeah, I know. Because every time I just feel so guilty, order food, like from food delivery, because the courier guys, they have to bear the unbearable freezing cold weather to deliver the food to your hand. And I do think they need more money, like more perks or allowance during these extreme weathers. But what I'm disappointed about is the amount of the money they could get. Even if they could get the money, it's only about maybe 300 yuan per month. So if it's like maybe 100 yuan per day, I think that's a good deal. But it's just like 200 yuan per month, I would rather prefer not to work during these days.
Well, yeah, I understand that mentality. And I suppose folks will have to make their own calculations and decisions in that sense that, let's say if you have to work, you don't really have the choice.
Yeah.
Maybe the courier guys would actually prefer you to make more orders in that sense. They can make more money, because when the business is humming, then usually employees get more money. But yeah, I totally agree with you, Huang Shen. I think maybe that's why some good spirited people, after they get the cure, the call from the cure guy saying that, hey, miss, I'm at the front door. Mm-hmm. And then we rush to the front door instead of letting the guy wait there for a little bit. Because it really bothers you, the thought that a nice man, a human being, is waiting for you out in the cold, that kind of thing. Or maybe bring him a tip.
Yeah.
Bring him a tip. Although Chinese people in our culture, we don't really have the tipping habit for the hospitable service.
Yeah, and I realized that when I actually tried to tip someone who brought me some food. I ordered a pizza late at night about a year ago, and I actually left him a tip because that's customary in the U.S., and he kind of looked at me like, what are you doing? And he was so confused. And aww. I just said, yeah, it's, you know, you can have it. Just take it. And he was like, thank you. But he looked so confused. And I don't know if I, at that time, I wasn't aware if I had offended him or not. But, you know, it was just something that, you know, I guess it was kind of a cultural clash. But I hope that, you know, I didn't offend this person. But I definitely think that it's a little bit more incentive to get people to go out in the cold. Because in my personal opinion, I would argue that cold weather is actually a bit more dangerous than the heat, because there's a lot of things that can happen to your body in that time. And hypothermia is actually a condition that's really common in this time when it's really cold outside and the core of your body is really cold. And this is a condition when your body loses heat faster than it can produce. And it can cause, you know, a lot of shivering, and it could cause unconsciousness and even cardiac arrest, I mean, in extreme cases. So, and this is just one of the many. Frostbite is something else. And I can't say that I've ever had a frostbite, but it occurs when the skin is exposed to really cold weather. And this could be if your hand gets wet, and heat dissipates a lot faster when something is wet. So the skin freezes, and so does the tissues underneath the skin. And so in some extreme cases, the muscle and nerves and blood vessels can freeze up. And this is according to the, you know, the U.S. you know, Center for Disease and Control. So frostbite can be very severe and can actually kill the tissue underneath your, you know, in your body. And in worst cases, they may have to amputate it, you know, to stop gangrene, which is when, you know, bacteria starts to grow from the dead tissue. So this is a really extreme case. But if you're working somewhere, for example, construction in some of the really cold areas like in Jilin or Harbin, which is where I've been, one of the coldest places I've ever been in my life, I couldn't imagine working there. And I would definitely get frostbite. And this is definitely a hazard that I believe a lot of employers and employees need to be aware of.
Yeah. That's totally right. And in these northeastern parts,
Dongbei,
three provinces lined up over there.
So cold. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like minus 30 degrees sometimes.
It was minus 30 when I was there. It was miserable.
Wow. Do people actually go outside? As in, there are still, aside from tourists, are there still people
when
outside?
When I was there, it was still a lively city. Wow. People were still walking around, and people were holding hands. I mean, like, it was nothing. I mean, I was miserable. Like, you could see it in my face. It was so cold. But I think these are, you know, Harbin natives, and they're used to the weather. But I would imagine that, you know, having to stay outside for an extended period of time, it's very dangerous, especially if you're, you know, doing some type of work, you know, building or constructing anything. So this type of, I think this needs to be spread a lot to employers, whereas they spend a lot less time, you know, outside when the temperatures reach a certain level. And in the States, there's not much regulation on this either. But OSHA, which is the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, they make some measures to where employers must follow, in that, you know, they have to schedule and maintenance, you know, repair jobs in some of the warmer times of the day. So if there's only, you know, 3 or 4 hours during the day where it's warm, that's when you're going to work. And all the other times the workers must go home, or they have to stay in the warmer, you know, stay in the office. So it's, the work is very limited, because of course, if anyone is working in these conditions for a long time, you're going to have different problems with your body. And well, let's face it, it could lead to a lawsuit.
Yeah, well, that's such a hallmark of America. And I mean, admittedly, it solves a lot of problems at the same time. Although, you know, people might be a little bit more, a lot more litigious. And but companies are afraid of the huge bill, the penalty bill that they might have to pay. Then, yeah, that's one way of solving
that's
some
unfortunate
problems.
And I feel what you're saying. And it's like we have to be, it's unfortunate that people are so litigious, where it's like everyone seems to put their hand out whenever something goes wrong. And that's not really the, I guess, I feel like it's not a very ethical way to be. But unfortunately, sometimes with companies, and since this is, you know, a lot of things are ran by money nowadays, sometimes these type of actions need to happen for things to move, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think the implementation of this subsidy is not only showing your care for your employees and your care for the workers, but it also helps to protect their rights. They should deserve this kind of subsidy. And also, I think if the companies, they couldn't afford to give them subsidy, at least you can give them more or better protective measures. For example, for those cleaners on the street, maybe you can buy them a thicker coat and they can keep them stay warm. So I think if you can't afford the subsidy, there are lots of solutions you can do to protect your workers, to let them work in a better condition.
I agree. And I've been living in Beijing for a few years, and Beijing doesn't get as cold as Harbin, but it does get pretty cold. And I've seen a lot of construction here. And my previous apartment, actually, there were a lot of gentlemen out there working really hard to repave the roads. And they didn't really, their domicile or where they stayed was a tent that was right outside. Mm. And it was really, really cold. And I saw people in the community that would go by there, and they would bring them hot water. And you know, and I think that this is really important too, especially for employers that are going to be having their, you know, their workers outside in these temperatures, having hot water available and warm areas during break periods, because this is a way for people to, you know, be able to recuperate. Because when you can't feel your hands, and I've had this experience before, it's really tough. It's a bit difficult to carry on with the work, and the quality of your work goes down as well. Mm-hmm. So I think subsidies is definitely a way to go. It motivates people who are, you know, a bit money driven. They can get some money and it motivates them, but also the safety, I believe, needs to be implemented too.
Yes, and ensuring workers' safety is, it should be in the heart of the employer, because if you have healthy employees, well, saves the medical bill, and it's better to have a workforce that is healthy, going to be able to achieve the targets that you've set for them, and you know, doesn't need me to do the calculation and the explanation for these very smart people who are hiring and running the team that is doing the job. But if this is, and it is, a sort of voluntary subsidy that companies can give or not. And
oh, wow.
And I understand that sometimes some regulations, it's not great for the government to meddle too much or micromanage. And it's up to the companies, the businesses themselves, to see what is the best fit for them and their workers. And then, you know, the Adam Smith talks about the invisible hand, all that stuff. I totally understand. But do you think this, the subsidy for low temperature, does it fit into the arbitrary, or should it be mandatory?
That's a beautiful question.
That's a very tough question.
In my personal opinion, just based off of my experience in cold weather, I think that if there is no subsidy given, then the employer definitely needs to provide an environment where if the employees need a break, or if it's really extreme and it's, you know, it's a potential hazard to their health, they need to be able to provide a means for them to be able to recuperate. There needs to be extended break times, even though that may, you know, be counterproductive, but it's preserving the life and the efficiency of their laborers. Mm-hmm. So if they have an environment where they can, well, protect their workers then I can understand where a subsidy doesn't really need to be given. But on the other hand, and I'm a firm advocate of that of environment being available for any type of company. But if that isn't available, then perhaps some subsidy should be given and the conditions should be explained to the workers in that, you know, we don't have these environments. It's very hazardous, but we are willing to give you more money. And if they sign on the dotted line, then they are willingly walking into it. But again, I think this should be a choice for the employee.
For the employee and not the...
The employee should know what they're getting themselves into.
Fair enough. Mm. Okay.
I think even if the subsidy can become a mandatory policy, it's still hard for the whole country to adopt a unified standard. Because the different cities has different level of urbanization and the salary levels are different, so it's hard for you to make a unified amount of subsidy, like how much you should give the employees, the workers. But I think it depends on the employers a little bit more, because you need to shoulder your responsibility of being a good employer. You need to care about your workers. And I think after they feel your kind heart and also they feel your care, those workers will pay back, I mean, with their better performance in the working place. And also, I think maybe we can raise the amount of subsidy a little bit more.
Yeah,
I still think
so.
200 yuan per month or 300 yuan per month is not enough. At least, you know, you won't experience an extreme cold weather in the whole month, maybe just a week. So by just maybe you can count based on the daily purpose, the daily basis. So maybe it's more friendly to the employees. They can feel your care.
Yeah. Mm. I think that's really important to show your employees that the organization actually cares about the well-being of people. Although traditionally, earlier on, after planned economy was abandoned and China started to go towards more of a market-oriented economy, for years, I don't think it was a major emphasis in doing business. Mm. In the old days, that I would say traditionally, in let's say the 1940s, 1950s, or earlier on, there were a lot of these family businesses that, back in the day, those businesses were aiming at lasting for 100 years, or it will be passed on through generations. And then back then, there was the incentive of, I want to take care of my employees. Mm. I want to take care of even my employee's son or daughter, because they might come and work with me. Mm. And then, so I think it's really important to have the long game in mind.
Yeah.
If you do, then I think people will have very different decisions. They will make very different decisions. But then, you know, back in the modern times, maybe not everybody's thinking that way. Mm. And then sometimes there's this pursuit for efficiency. And but that's not enough.
Yeah.
We're still human beings, right? There is that. I know some of you might laugh at me, but I do sometimes have this penchant for the warm and fuzziness of things. And I don't believe that, you know, big corporations, whatever organization, institution you work for, is plainly just a machine. Mm. I mean, even if it's just a machine, it still needs the greases, right? To grease the wheel.
Yeah.
And those things, I think, is showing some heart and caring about the well-being of your employees, and hoping that machine can go a bit further. just some thoughts on a very cold day.
Yes.
Food of thought from Roundtable. You are listening to Roundtable.